flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
How are we doing today on this Wednesday? Very cold day. Very cold day in New York City. Evan and Tiki on the fan. We'll get back to calls in a little bit, including why the Mets and Pete Alonso can't get together on a contract. We'll try to figure out the formula that all these playoff teams have put together that's gotten them to this point where they are only 2 wins away from getting to a Super Bowl. But joining us right now, a guy does a great job on SNY. We're talking, of course, about Connor Hughes. Connor, Tiki, Evan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, guys. So is Alonso coming back?
I don't know. At the end of the day, I think he will, but they're making us sweat this thing out. Put it this way, Connor. The Jets will hire a head coach before there is any decision on Pete Alonso.
Oh, there we go.
I can guarantee that. Now, you got to explain something to me, because this one is just, it's causing my head to be banged against the wall. Why, when the Jets are interviewing everybody, in fact, there's a rumor Tiki went for an interview earlier today, why have they not reached out to Mike McCarthy?
Connor, it's only because I live in Florham Park, and I just popped over and did an interview.
He said, why not?
Oh, there you go. Why not? That'd be fun. Yeah.
What is the deal behind McCarthy and the Jets not reaching out, considering they're reaching out to everybody else?
So here's what I can tell you about Mike McCarthy. They went through a pretty extensive vetting of him and interviewing for him back before they hired Adam Gase. Because if you remember, they picked him over McCarthy. In fact, McCarthy was openly campaigning, kind of almost not as aggressively as Rex Ryan, but openly campaigning for that Jets job when it was available to come and work with Sam Darnold, turn it around. The Jets had turned up a decent number of things that had gone wrong in Green Bay. They didn't love the fact that he was only able to have one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, and they ultimately decided that he was not the person that they believed was the right man to be their next head coach.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't necessarily, obviously they went Adam Gase, which did not work either.
Yeah.
But I don't think that anything has really happened in Dallas to change their opinion of him and, oh yeah, let's make him our head coach now. Cause it's not like he had immense playoff success over there. They've had maybe not so much this year, but that's been a wildly talented football team.
Right.
Like, wildly talented football team. And they really haven't had any postseason success or anything like that. He's made a lot of questionable decisions. The quarterback draw where the clock ran out. I mean, there's just, I don't know. I mean, the resume looks good, but when you look at the talented teams he's worked with, it's almost like that's all you accomplished?
Yeah.
Like that kind of a thing.
Okay, but my counter to that is, why not bring him in to just pick his brain on Aaron Rodgers? That's changed over the time period of Adam Gase. Rodgers wasn't a Jet. Why not bring him in just to see, hey, what do you think of Aaron Rodgers? Like, can't information be gathered in an interview other than just simply, are we going to hire him or not?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a very good point. I think that probably is, I mean, there's really no argument against that, especially because post-pandemic, all these interviews can be done via Zoom. So it's not even like you're flying this guy out to Palm Beach. I mean, you can log on to a Zoom for an hour or so and just pick his brain. So I'm sure that's it. I mean, but also there might just be these other two, the Saints and the Bears might just be more overly aggressive in trying to acquire him than the Jets would be.
Oh, that's interesting. But, you know, because that was going to be my next question. Do you get in the sense that everybody thinks that way about Mike McCarthy, or is it just the Jets?
Well, it seems like after he was let go, the two teams that were kind of most in on him now are the Saints and the Bears. And the Bears are, I'm not surprised with at all. For the Saints, I do keep hearing, aside from McCarthy, Aaron Glenn. I mean, those are the two guys right. That I keep hearing to New Orleans more and more and more. But no, I mean, look, McCarthy, the thing about McCarthy is I think you know what the floor is with him, which isn't necessarily the case of some of these other coaches. Like, I think there is a baseline you are going to get with him. The question mark with McCarthy is he the coach that's going to break through that ceiling and get you to another Super Bowl, that's going to bring another Lombardi championship? But at the end, I mean, he's an NFL head coach. He is. And yeah. He's going to go out there and win you guys 8 to 9 to 10, maybe 11 games. And if you're really successful, maybe a little bit more than that. It's just, it seems like in really big spots with him, there's always a bugaboo where it's almost like the outsmarting of himself.
Right. Yeah,
and he makes some decisions where you're like, why did you do that?
Right.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, that kind of seems to be his biggest issue.
No, that's definitely fair, because it's plagued him ever since post-Super Bowl in Green Bay. But with that being said, why do you think the Jets are interviewing so many candidates for this?
Specifically with the head coach spot, like I was just saying, it's easy. Like, it's a Zoom interview, so why not just bring him in and talk to him? I mean, this isn't like pre-pandemic where every interview is in person and you're scheduling out time. I mean, it really is just about the main people that they have in on these interviews, which is Tannenbaum, Spielman, Christopher sometimes, Woody, and Jaime. It's just about all those guys logging on in front of their computer, and then the guys I think that they're uber serious about are the ones that get, like, Vrabel, the trip to Florham Park, the other guys that are being flown out to Palm Beach where Woody is, like that kind of
thing. Right, so we should only take serious the guys who have gotten in-person meetings. So do we know who those are going to ultimately be? Because some of them are still, you know, obviously coaching.
Yeah, I wouldn't say only take those two. I think those are just the guys that maybe had the little asterisk next to them, like, you know, the really, really, really want to talk to. But the two guys, honestly, that I keep hearing most associated with this Jets opening, and give the Jets credit. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has screamed this every single time he stands in front of a microphone, that they have a leak problem, they have a leak problem, they have a leak problem. This is a very small circle conducting these interviews, and the men that are in the interviews are not speaking. So when I say this, like, I'm talking to league sources around the Jets, like other NFL teams, other coaches who are available that are looking for jobs, that are hearing all the rumors and gossips that are coming through the grapevine of who's going where, and where all the dominoes are going to file or fall. This isn't from the Jets building, because they have this on super, super lockdown.
Right.
But the two guys most associated with that building right now, it's Brian Flores and it's Aaron Glenn. And I think Aaron Glenn is number one for them. But if Glenn ends up going to New Orleans, I think Flores is their fallback.
We're talking to Connor Hughes. Now, one of the interviews that they did was a big surprise, because I think most people were like, I don't know who that guy is. And that was the Maryland head coach, Mike Locksley.
Yeah.
What is the appeal? Because, I admit, I'm not sitting there watching Maryland football, but I know his win-loss record, and it's not good.
Yeah.
So what is the appeal to a college coach like Mike Locksley that even got him this interview?
Yeah, that one was a little bit surprising to me. I think from talking to people over in the Jets building when this thing began, they said you're going to see some names that are going to surprise you. You're going to see some names that are not going to be on your radar or anybody else's radar. But they have stressed over and over and over again, they are going to leave no stone unturned. And that is a guy that has relationships in the NFL, guys who have clearly gotten the ear of people over at the Jets. And again, this is one of those things where why not talk to him? I don't think that if you've got a couple hours free, why not go ahead, give him a Zoom interview and see maybe if something doesn't surprise you. I mean, you go back to when Mike Tomlin got the Steelers job. He was not somebody that they were thinking about hiring, and then you got him in the room and they're like, holy cow, this guy needs to be our next head coach. I mean, sometimes things like that happen. So if this was somebody that Tannenbaum knew or Spielman knew or even just somebody else that the Jets is speaking to, like, hey, maybe just give this guy a shot, talk to him. It could either be for the head coach position or on somebody's staff.
Okay, so that's cool. Like, I love the Big Ten. But that leads me to a few names, and I'm not saying I would hire these guys, but just names like, why wouldn't you interview them? One name is Pete Carroll. Why not interview him?
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
Another name is John Gruden. Now, maybe it's the baggage that's associated with him. Totally fine. I don't even like John Gruden, but I'm just simply saying, like, those are two names that, Like, why not? If we're interviewing the head coach of Maryland, why wouldn't you interview two guys who happen to coach teams that won a Super Bowl?
So Pete Carroll was the one that I actually thought made a ton of sense because he fit and checked so many of the boxes that the Jets want. They prefer somebody who's done it before. They prefer somebody who is a culture guy. They prefer someone who has an understanding of what the New York media is, because while Robert Saleh was a culture guy, he didn't really understand how to handle this New York market. And with Gase, he kind of did understand it, but then he...
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was there, all these other, it's just a bunch of different things that have gone wrong. They prefer somebody who's done it before and all that stuff. And Carroll is, he's the very definition of a culture guy, understands New York because he did coach here and he wants to get back in it. I got the sense and the vibe that Pete just didn't want the Jets gig. That this is a place that he didn't necessarily want to come back to and involve himself in. So I think that was very similar to Ben Johnson. I think it was just one of those things where there wasn't so much interest the other way, and it just wasn't going
to
happen.
Well, then the answer to that, so you're telling me with Ben Johnson, because I brought him up too, like, hey, why would you not request an interview? You're telling me Ben basically let it be known, don't waste your time. Is that fair to say?
Very early on. I can tell you that 100%. That's from a couple different sources that Ben Johnson let the Jets know. Whether it was through back channel or just straight up, Ben Johnson was not interested in the Jets whatsoever. So this was not, and I think from the Jets, now the Jets had their own questions about him. Like I know Ben's done an incredible job with Detroit. The offense is unbelievable. I think there is a lot of questions around him of what are you going to do when you don't have the best offensive line in the NFL and all of these playmakers everywhere. Ben is also incredibly close with Adam Gase. So I'm sure if there were letters of recommendation that were sent out, I don't think Adam was sending one to Ben regarding the Jets. And the Jets also, they had a couple concerns with how Ben Johnson was going to handle the New York market, just because of how his personality is, the way that he's kind of wired. I don't think that New York was going to be a great fit for him. He was not interested.
That keeps coming up, Connor. I mean, how big of a deal is that? And who, if you haven't been in this market, can handle it? It takes some time to understand how the media is going to be, how the fan base is going to be in this market. I mean, it almost feels disqualifying for most.
It does. It does. And that's why I think Glenn works a lot. I think that's why Vrabel would have worked a lot. That's why I think Flores, I don't know, maybe I think Flores, it's almost like a poor man's Vrabel in terms of like he's bringing the culture, he's bringing the discipline, which this Jets team could use quite a bit of. The no-nonsense, no BS, like he's going to kick some players where they don't really feel like being kicked and make guys uncomfortable. I think that's what the Jets need, and I don't think the Flores in any way, shape, or form is going to be intimidated by the media.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Which could be what the Jets, Ben Johnson was one where, like, I've heard some things even just how he's personally viewed with way that, you know, kind of just the way that he acts and things like that, that I don't think it would work here. And the Jets certainly shared that opinion. And I think their stance was like, look, we know you're not interested in us. Why are we going to file a request just for you to turn us down when we already have our own concerns about how you're going to handle the market? So it was like, we're not interested in you. You're not interested in us. Let's move on.
Makes sense. Now tell us your thoughts, or at least what you're hearing, relative to the general manager and the timing of before, after, like, what's the deal with the GM?
Yeah, Brian Costello actually put this out there, and I've heard kind of something similar. That so the Jets have had a very open mind in terms of what comes first, GM or head coach or GM, and this wasn't one of those things where one needed to come before the other. However, there has been a preferred GM comes first, and I think ultimately what Kaz said is exactly it, is that the general manager comes first, and then you can involve the general manager in the next couple coaching interviews. The one situation where that would have changed dramatically is if the Jets were able to get Mike Vrabel, and they did. I mean, they went full court press and did everything they could to try to get him. They were going to involve Mike Vrabel. Again, he's a different kind of coaching candidate. Mm-hmm. They were going to involve him in the search for the general manager, and he was going to have a large say in the general manager. It's one of the reasons why right before he took the Patriots job, they called him and basically said, like, what can we do to get you here? Is there anything? And Vrabel just wanted New England. But I think now that Vrabel's out of the question, I think ideally they probably have the GM thing taken care of end of this week, early next week, and then the GM's involved in the coach search as well. Now, this isn't going to be something where the GM has the final say, but at least the GM and the head coach can get in the room together. And if they don't have a previous relationship like Gregson and Brian Flores do, or if the Jets went with two other guys who worked within the same building, like the guy from Kansas City and Nagy or something, like, where it's like, oh, these guys know each other. Like, right. The Giants went Shane and Dable. You can at least get them in the same room and see how they interact with each other and kind of make you feel even more comfortable.
All right. So it's like sort of an arranged marriage, but we got to make sure there's some good chemistry before we say,
correct,
hey, we're good with this.
Yeah, so, correct. Yeah, it's, yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned Shane and Dable, and that's a logical thing to think about, because I remember when they hired Joe Shane, there was like a few days of, all right, who's he going to hire? Mm-hmm. And we all just assumed, maybe even though it turned out to be right, maybe our logic was wrong, we all sat here on the radio saying, oh, it's got to be Dable because of their history in Buffalo. Would you play that same game if you're a Jet fan based on who the GM is? Just play the game, follow the logic. If there's a relationship, if there's a history, that's going to be the guy?
No, I wouldn't. I would say, though, if it ends up being Gregson, which I don't know if that's 100%. It's just a lot of the people that have told me is that it sounds... I can't break up, is this Gregson putting this out there? That, like, I know the... So much so that, like, the people in Minnesota have been talking about the combination of Gregson, Flores, and Josh McCown as the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Like, that package deal has been talked about. What I can't get to the bottom of is who is the originator of that. Is that Gregson saying, look, I know that's Gregson's pitch. It's like, these are the guys I'm bringing with me.
Right.
I don't know if that's Flores as well being like, hey, these are my other guys with me, that kind of a thing. But it, like, Minnesota people are talking about that. So if Gregson comes first, like, say Gregson was hired in the next 3 days, yeah, I'd say odds are probably Brian Flores is going to end up being this team's head coach. But other than that, no, I really don't think there's an obvious connection.
I have an opinion on Ryan Gregson that may be very basic, and you have every right to swat it away and say, Evan, you don't know what you're talking about. Because I admit, there's a very basic opinion I have on Gregson that I think actually represents a lot of Jet fans when I say this.
Yeah.
We view him as the guy that broke Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we view. Is that an unfair representation of him if he does come in and ends up as the next GM of the New York Jets?
No, it's something he's going to have to shoulder forever. I mean, that's what everyone's going to remember that tenure of the Colts for. They're not going to remember the playoff years. They're not going to remember the fact that he built them into, now, again, they had Andrew Luck, but he built a team that was a Super Bowl favorite. He built a team that was in the playoffs year after year after year, a team that was considered to be the powerhouse in the AFC South and one of the best teams across the entire NFL. That's what the Colts were under Gregson. But ultimately, his failures on the offensive line, the beating that Andrew Luck took, it led to his early retirement, and he was the general manager during that tenure and during that time. And that's something that he's going to have to shoulder and he's going to have to deal with whenever he gets another opportunity. And I think that he believes he's learned from it, from talking to people that are close to him. He thinks he's ready for another shot. He's ready to prove people wrong and kind of shed that blemish on his resume. But honestly, Evan, until he gets another gig and builds a contender and builds the offensive line, and all that stuff, I don't think he's going to – I think that's something that's going to be pretty regularly associated with him. Now, I will say, he comes here to the Jets, he doesn't have to worry about the line. It's pretty much taken care of. Like, you got four-fifths of that line fixed when the Colts weren't necessarily like that. So At least, hell, he goes out there and finds himself the next Andrew Luck. You're already putting behind the line that, that Douglas built.
Right. So you talked about the general manager being in the next week or so. How soon do you think the head coach gets announced for this team?
It'll be fine. I mean, look, the Jets want to do second interviews with everybody. So it's going to be second round interviews. And that's when you're really going to find out who this team's targeting is once you see of like the 37,000 people that they've interviewed. Once you see like the 3 to 4 guys that actually get the second interview, okay, that's where they're locking in on. That's who they want. But it won't be too long. I think it's second interviews with the GM, get your GM hired. Then have a second interview or two with a couple of the candidates you really like, a coach, just make sure GM and coach are you know, kind of in lockstep, and then boom, you'll move forward with it.
We're talking to Connor Hughes. Did they interview Rex Ryan as just, hey, let's make the 40% of the Jet fans happy, let's feed them a little bit by giving them a Rex interview?
I don't know if it was the fans as much as it was, like, Rex still has a really good relationship with a lot of people over here, Woody Johnson, that kind of a thing, and he's been openly campaigning for a job in coaching for a while. Like this isn't just like, it's been very loud because it's the Jets vacancy and it's New York and the connections, but like he's been kind of banging the table to get back into coaching, even as a defensive coordinator for the last couple of years. So much so, I think it was 2 years ago, I think it was at the Combine, there was a lot of talk about Rex getting a defensive coordinator gig, so much so that he was already putting together a staff. Like he had talked to guys and been like, hey, you're going to be secondary, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. And it was like 2 years ago, it wasn't last year, probably 2 years ago. And then ultimately he didn't get anything. He's had a couple of defensive coordinator interviews, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Denver, I think. Denver and Dallas are the two I remember.
Yeah, so I just don't, look, I don't think the interview went super, super well. I think there were a lot of question marks that still were left, like who's actually going to be on your staff. I think it was more like, all right, you know, look, Rex, you really want to do it, let's bring you in here and talk to you. But I don't. Yeah. It would have been a disaster.
It definitely would have been. It would have placated 10%, 20% of the Jet fan base. That's about it. Connor,
and people forget it wasn't like I, Evan, you can remember this. Like the after the first 2 years with Rex,
it was,
like,
bad.
It was pretty much success. It was success with Mangini's team. Once he got his hands on the Jets, they all fell apart.
Right.
The team was they were dysfunctional. They were undisciplined. It was a disaster. And then Buffalo was the same damn thing.
Yeah.
So like it just blew my mind where people are like, we need Rex.
Well, I didn't want him back, but I understood what was happening. What was happening is this franchise is such a freaking mess. We've had so much losing. The last time there was happiness in our lives when it comes to football was back-to-back AFC Championship games. And so I think it was just as simplistic as that. Last time happy, Rex Ryan. Yeah. Hire Rex Ryan. But it was never going to work this time around.
Yeah, that's because you let my boy Thomas Jones go.
he was unreal.
Oh, he was not
you forget how good he was, man. I looked him up like a couple weeks ago or something like that. Randomly popped in my head. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he bounced around. You know, I think that's why people have forgotten how great he was as a running back.
He was a player.
Bears after Jets, right? Wasn't it? It was Bears after the Jets. He was nasty there too.
He was great there. I mean, hell, he broke all my records at UVA. Freshman, I knew it. You mentioned some defensive names for the head coach. Are there any of these offensive guys that are interesting or favored more than anyone else?
I haven't really heard. Well, there's not really any out there. Matt Nagy,
Kingsbury's, the Matt Nagy's of the world.
Arthur Smith.
I know he popped up today. And trust me, Connor, my reaction was exactly the same as that.
Me too.
That under the breath, guttural reaction you just had.
Yeah.
So, like, are there any offensive names?
Not that I've heard. Arthur Smith is one that popped up, I think, early on. I forget who. Somebody threw his name out there as like, hey, keep an eye on this one. So I wouldn't like completely and totally rule it out.
Right.
But I think that's probably more if like Flores goes into this interview with the Jets and just completely bombs it. Like if Flores bombs it, like Glenn already interviewed. So say Glenn goes to New Orleans, Flores bombs this interview, and then it's like, all right, what do we do? Okay, let's talk to Arthur Smith. But I think I will say what you just hit, though, is I think if the Jets are trying to figure out who deserves the edge, Glenn Flores, I think it's whoever can come forward with them with the best plan at offensive coordinator.
Interesting.
Now, I'm with you. Like, I kind of what you had said, like, if I was in the perfect world of building a team and hiring a coach, I would always hedge towards the offensive coach so the system doesn't change, and especially an offensive coach that calls plays, because I feel like it's so much harder to find a good offensive coordinator as opposed to a good defensive coordinator.
Agreed.
But that's also such a that's such a rich person problem right now for the Jets. Like, they don't, like, they're like, we would love somebody to try to hire our offensive coordinator to be a head coach. Like, let's build an offense like that. Let's do that. So I think it's just a problem that they're like, if we actually have to face that, we've done something right, and we'll deal with that then.
So, Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, two guys I'd be happy with as a Jet fan. I'd be happy with either guy. I put Flores ahead of Glenn, but I'd be happy with either. Of those two candidates, this is my loaded question of the day. Mm-hmm. Which one, in your opinion, would be more interested in bringing back Aaron Rodgers for 2025?
I think that there would be, this isn't a dance around. Like, I genuinely believe this. I think both of those guys would have equal interest in bringing him back. I don't think that either of those guys is kicking in the door and saying, we need to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. I also think that everybody kind of has the understanding of, if not Rodgers, then who?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the Jets are picking two where it's like, well, we're going to let go of Aaron and we're just going to draft Shador or Cam. It's not like there is an obvious option in free agency that's going to be better than Aaron. I mean, I think anyone would tell you, from a pure football X's and O's perspective, Aaron Rodgers is the best option for the Jets in 2025. It's just, do you want to deal with the butts that come with Aaron Rodgers, the weekly McAfee appearances, the question, he's going to make his opinion felt, as he should. I mean, he's a four-time MVP, on the offense, what the offense should do, the players they should have. When things aren't going right, he's going to talk about them not going right. Like, it's, there's a lot of butts that come with Aaron as your quarterback that I think it's, it's beyond coach and it's beyond GM. It's does ownership want to deal with it?
So it's a Woody decision, ultimately?
I think so. Wow. I think ultimately, yeah. It's just does ownership want to deal with it?
I don't like that. Do we have any idea, Connor, about what Aaron wants to do? Because I know he's flirting with maybe retiring, but I doubt it. So where are we with Aaron?
He did not sound like a guy that wanted to stop playing when we talked to him the last couple weeks of the season. And I do not believe that he wants to go out like these last 2 years with the Jets, where it was people basically saying, can he play anymore? He wants to go out where it's on his terms. And I think if he goes out now, it's going to be viewed as not on his terms. That, like, it was the thumb injury in Green Bay, the Achilles injury, and then the Jets were a disaster last year. Oh, he's retiring. I think there's also going to be teams, especially if McCarthy goes to New Orleans, say, and Glenn goes to the Jets, like, that's a place where Aaron Rodgers could end up. The Steelers, absolutely a place that Aaron Rodgers could end up, where he's going to have options to keep playing. But it's just... Right. Look, I don't think his relationship with Woody's not great right now. I mean, that's pretty obvious. I mean, he was taking shots at Woody pretty much any time he spoke, whether it was to us in the locker room or on the McAfee show. So, like, it was subliminal or sometimes just straight up he was saying it. So I know that didn't sit overly well with ownership, and it's just a matter of do they want to sign up for this all over again.
I want the coach and the GM to make the decision, but I guess I'll appeal to Woody in this regard. I watch their commercials that they run. They run season ticket commercials. Aaron Rodgers is all over those commercials.
Like, they are, yeah.
If they're,
they did that tweet thing on him, too.
Yeah, they did the tweet thing with the picture of him in 4K. Like, if Woody's thinking about selling tickets, and that doesn't work on me. I'm buying tickets either way because I'm a schmuck. Isn't that a huge factor in bringing Aaron Rodgers back? You're not going to sell tickets. Like, you even said, who's the quarterback if it's not Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Again, that's where it's such a tricky, weird situation. Like, honestly, I don't think there's that huge of a drop-off if they, from a football perspective, there is a drop-off, but I don't think it's like, oh my God, if it's Tyrod and Justin Fields next year. Like, I don't think it's that insane, but
given
Tyrod and Justin Fields aren't selling tickets. Like, people aren't going to be like, let me renew, or let the people that, the X percent of people that canceled when the prices went up, they're not going to be like, oh, I'm coming back for Tyrod. Like, it's not one of those things. So, it almost feels like the Jets are kind of entering into one of those years. Remember, Evan, when they went in with it was McCown, Petty, and Hackenberg.
Yes,
where it was like kind of like kicking the can down the road a little bit.
Yeah.
It almost feels like that could be what this season's going to be at quarterback.
God, that's brutal.
Oh, that was
brutal.
I can't wait till August.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. So the Giants are keeping Shane Bowen. Is that the thing here? Even though their defense was abysmal and they haven't made any changes to the GM or the head coach, they're going to run it back with the same DC, Connor?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, unless now, I know there was some talk from Vrabel about, like, he wants to bring Bowen with him, but the Giants have to let him go. Like, the Giants have to let him out of his contract. Right. And as the Giants showed last year with Mike Kafka, there's a good chance they say, nope, sorry, not doing that. Like, I mean, last year's wild. Like, they literally stripped Mike Kafka of game planning responsibilities, play calling, basically shoved him in a closet. And then when he had an opportunity to go be the Seahawks offensive coordinator and actually call plays and run his offense, they were like, yeah, no, you're not allowed to go do that. So it would not surprise me. Like, yeah, I know you want to go with Vrabel, but no, we're not doing that. We're keeping you one more year until everyone's fired, and then you can go join him. So I wouldn't put it back.
Are they going to let him hire a staff? We saw the Jerome Henderson and then the safety coach as well were both let go. Is that a chance for him to bring in some of his people?
Yes. Yeah, right. I think so. Yeah, he'll have his chance to do that.
That's good.
The only thing I'm very annoyed about, I'm sorry, this was like 2 minutes ago, but it's in my brain, it's pissing me off, is Woody deciding on Rodgers and not whoever the head coach is and not whoever the GM is. Like, that to me would drive me nuts. If I'm hiring a general manager and there's salary cap implications, which I totally understand, there's who's the quarterback if it's not him, I totally get that. I want them making the decision, not Woody, because he's pissed off. Aaron took fair shots at him.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got nothing for that one.
I'm venting. I apologize. I'm pissed about it.
I think it's also some of that guaranteed money sitting in escrow.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. Connor,
we appreciate
it, man.
No problem, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
There he is, the great Connor Hughes. Here, look, I'm actually very upset about this now. I want, all I freaking want from my teams is I want you to hire people and let them make the decision. So let me bring it to baseball for a second. I have made this absolutely clear. I want Pete Alonso back. I can't say it any other way. I want Pete Alonso back. I want Pete Alonso back. I want Pete Alonso back. Now watch this magic trick.
Go ahead.
I want David Stearns to run the baseball team. I don't want Steve Cohen overstepping and saying, all right, Stearns, enough geek. Go re-sign Pete Alonso. I wouldn't want that. I want David Stearns, who's been hired to run the baseball team, to run the baseball team. I don't want the owner making impulsive decisions. So with all of that said, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, and I get it, if you listen to the show, you're probably confused. Like, Evan, do you want the guy back or not? That's not the point right now. The point isn't what Evan wants. I want the owner of my team to hire smart people and get the hell out of the way and not make decisions about who his quarterback is, because it hurt my feelings when Rodgers took a shot at me and the kind of owner I am. That's what I'm annoyed about.
But I also think some of it has to do with some of the money. I think the money has a big deal to do with this.
Like how much you'd be paying him?
Or just how much you'd be losing. So you're going to crush your cap for a year and not have him? You might as well crush your cap and have him, especially if he gives you the best option.
Tiki, by the way, all fair points in debating Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying to you is I want Borgonzi making the decision. I don't want Woody making the decision. I get it's his money. You hire football people. Let the football people decide. Like this idea that you're going to hire Brian Flores and Aaron Glenn, and he's like, yeah, Aaron Glenn's like, sure, I want Aaron Rodgers back. Mm-hmm. But the owner's going to say, no, I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive you-know-what, and Aaron said something that bothered me. So sorry, you're not going to get your best option at quarterback. That's what annoys me. And that has to change, Woody. That crap's got to stop. You're going to hire two people in the next 2 weeks. I may like it. I may not like it. I have no idea. Whatever you do, though, you got to trust them to do their freaking jobs. Pisses me off.
Obviously.
Why are you laughing? What are you over there, Chuckles?
I am chuckling.
Your team won 3 games this year.
Yeah, my team.
And you ran it back.
My team.
Don't start with me.
My team didn't say, no, we're not interested in a head coach because he only won one Super Bowl only to hire Mike McCarthy. That was a hell of an answer from Connor.
Oh, my God.
That is a hell of an answer.
That the Jets were turned off by they didn't win enough?
I don't think it was just that.
But still, the idea that that was a negative, that he only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers in the same coaching cycle they hired Adam Gase?
But Adam Gase didn't have Aaron Rodgers, did he have the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. He had the crappy Dolphins, and he stinks as a head coach, which they shouldn't have hired him to begin with. Don't make me defend Adam Gase. Don't put me in that spot. Don't put me in a pretzel where I got to defend that clown. That's the worst coaching hire in the history of football. I think that was more they were unimpressed by Mike McCarthy. Now, I disagree. I'd bring him in for an interview, and maybe I'd see for myself how unimpressive he is, and I'd pick his brain about Aaron Rodgers. But I think that critique of Mike McCarthy, which I don't agree with, is the same critique I heard from a lot of people over the years. He didn't win enough with that roster. I heard that a lot. That's not new.
And we got to the bottom of that Ben Johnson doesn't want the Jets.
Yes.
He's just not that into you.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why they're interviewing all these people, because I don't want to say they're really good candidates, but some of the more sought-after candidates don't want to.
Besides Ben Johnson. Who, Connor points out, they are worried about him handling New York, which I give him foresight credit on that, because that is a big part of this freaking job.
Handling the media and handling sports talk radio.
I can't tell you they're right about that or wrong about that, because I don't know Ben Johnson personally.
Yeah. Right.
Have you dealt with Ben at all?
I've never called a Lions game.
Okay. I'm going to...
I've never met him.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and that is certainly something that they should take into account. But other than Ben Johnson as a hot candidate, who else
would we
are
count
you referring to?
Pete Carroll as a hot candidate? Have they interviewed Pete yet?
Well, he said they're not. He wouldn't be interested either.
So that's what I'm saying. So there's two big. I mean, assuming we put Pete Carroll up there, which you have to.
But if guys aren't interested in you, then obviously, then it dead upon arrival. I'm not going to rip the Jets for that.
No, but
if they're not interested, what am I? The McCarthy thing is different because what are the reasons they're not interviewing him? You pointed out his point that the Jets were unimpressed by not winning enough in Green Bay.
Yeah.
I'd still interview him. But if someone doesn't want the job, why am I interviewing someone for a job they don't want? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that point. I'm just saying the fact that we're trying to figure out.
I think you're looking for ways, while I'm already pissed off,
no.
to take shots
Absolutely
at the
not.
Jets
no.
when I'm taking not. Plenty of them at them.
No.
Like, I'm already laying out the gunshots, or however you want to describe it, at my decrepit organization. So I need the jackasses in the back who root for a three-win team, who's running it back with the same GM and coach, to add to my misery. But keep trying. I'd love to listen.
By the way, just ask some questions.
3-14.
You introduced.
Sorry, Tiki, I'm not trying to attack. You
introduced 3-14. You introduced our favorite team,
3-14.
The 3-win team. You keep saying 3-14 all you
three
want.
3-14.
I'm going to take this time for the second time
I'm
in the show to say,
right now.
Yes. Thank you, John Mara. Because seeing what the Jets are going through and seeing how many people are saying no to bad situations with the Jets, maybe a week and a half later, pretty smart of him to hold on to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane in this character.
Well, he just took it a step further. I wasn't going to go there. We're just trying to get to the bottom of why they are interviewing so many people.
He took a shot at the Giants. You're not paying attention.
No, he didn't.
And I respect that, Sean.
You're welcome.
Yeah, he basically said, I'm glad I didn't fire my coaches. No one would want my job either.
But it also feels like, I don't know. Doesn't it feel like these candidates are not leaving a ton to be desired as well? Given our environment, the New York environment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking at some of these videos of Ben Johnson. I can't hear what he's saying or anything like that. But I don't get that he wouldn't be viable in New York or wouldn't handle it well. But,
so you think that's made up?
But who? No, it's probably true.
Okay.
Because I don't know him personally. Like some of these guys, Aaron Glenn, you're not. And Connor was 100% dead on. Aaron Glenn and Brian Flores, you can tell that they are. And this has nothing to do with them being black, but I'm saying it anyways. Prideful black men.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't give a crap. And so. And they have confidence in themselves because of their success. So coming to New York is not going to be an issue for them.
Especially,
like if you challenge them, they're gonna either take it or give it right back to you.
And two things about them that they have at least the experience of. Number one, Aaron Glenn played here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get it. Maybe dealing with the media as a head coach is very different than dealing in the media as a player who plays in the secondary.
Right.
But nevertheless, he's answering questions from annoying beat writers, so he's used to it and gets it. And Brian Flores is from Brooklyn.
He doesn't care.
Of course.
Right.
This is a guy, and this is a part of my appeal of Flores. And I'll tell you something else. I listened to this wonderful podcast. I want to put the podcast over while sort of taking a shot. Not really at them. It's called, I'm about to put a podcast over and I forget.
You write everything down.
Play Like a Jet.
Got it.
Okay? With Scott Mason, who does a great job. Scott's fantastic. I've been on this podcast before. I think it's fantastic. And Scott Mason did a great feature on Brian Flores, in which he brought in a Dolphin guy in, and they talked about Flores. And quite frankly, Scott, you did a great job. It felt like a hit piece on Brian Flores. Now, with that said, here's how it backfired.
Why?
The hit piece on Flores, oh, he's a tyrant. He did this.
It's like, that's what we need.
Yes! I walked away from it saying, I want this guy even more.
Right.
He's a jackass. He's mean to people. He was threatening to cancel practices after 5 minutes because he didn't like their attitude. I'm like, can we hire this guy right now? Like, if there's a franchise that needs somebody who's a tyrant, please, yes, may I have another? That's what I want. And so, is this list or are these candidates less than desirable? Like Mike Vrabel would have been number one. The Jets got that right by addressing him. They obviously didn't get him. Sucks. Patriots, they're a stable organization. I get it as much as it sucks. Aaron Glenn and Brian Flores are not bad candidates.
No.
I'm intrigued by both of them. And if one of those guys gets the job, I will at least have some optimism going into this offseason, even if I got to deal with this owner who's overstepping his bounds. Because he should not decide who the quarterback is.
Right.
That's my issue.
And Brian Flores grew up a Met fan.
Did he really?
I just looked it up. Mets and Giants.
Don't do this to me.
Well,
is it true or is it not true?
If you believe Wikipedia, it's true.
Did he grow up? Now, this will put it over the top. Did he grow up as a New Jersey Nets fan and followed
stop
into
it.
Brooklyn?
Nobody did. Come on.
All it says is Flores grew up a fan of the New York Giants and the New York Mets.
I'm reading right now. Converted to the Nets when they moved in 2012.
That would make sense.
Holy crap.
I just can't believe that.
Get this guy in here now, Teague.
Of course, yeah. I just can't believe that live on the air, Sean Moraes admitted that the Giants, one of the best organizations in the NFL with the number 3 overall pick, is not a desirable head coaching position.
Right.
That's
now,
what you said? That's where we're at right now? That this is not a desirable job with the number 3 overall pick? They're the Giants.
I believe that any franchise that has very much uncertainty at the quarterback position and is not picking one or two in the draft and is off a 3-win year is not at the top of people's list for desirability.
Yeah, I think Sean's right. The Giants are right now not the Giants. Now, they have a chance to go back to being the Giants.
Sure, I agree with that.
But right now, they are not the New York Giants.
But it's just hearing it from him now, I think that really...
No, I thought it was real classy on his part. He was...
Well, you were acting like a baby, too.
I was acting like a baby. He saw I was screaming and yelling. He saw that I kept screaming 3-14, and he said, you know what? I'm going to throw him a bone. I'm going to take a shot at my own team to make Evan feel better. So thank you, Sean. I appreciate that.
I also like Brian Daboll, but yes, go ahead.
No, thank you. It's all great. We'll come back and get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Plus, we're all looking for a formula that wins in the NFL. Let's take a quick view at some of the teams that are remaining and see if there is a common denominator on why these teams have been successful. A lot coming up. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list right around 5 o'clock, and we're going to do an Evan and Tiki investigation into who Josh Hart hates on the New York Knicks, because clearly there is a teammate or two that he has a major problem with, and we're going to try to figure that out coming up at around 5:30. But coming up this weekend, we've got some great NFL playoff action.
And that's right, Evan. The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365.
What I'm about to say is a real Sean special, Teague. It's a real Sean special. To where when I say it, Sean is probably going to stand up and be like, see? I know! See? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
If you look at the 8 remaining teams in the NFL, and you look at the quarterback, which is a pretty important position,
yep.
You see Patrick Mahomes, first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You see C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. first-round pick. You see Jared Goff, first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You see Jaden Daniels, first-round pick. You see Matthew Stafford, first-round pick. You see Josh Allen, first-round pick. You see Lamar Jackson, first-round pick.
Barely.
But still, first-round pick.
Yeah, of course.
And the exception is Jalen Hurts, who is a second-round pick.
See, Evan? See? And 3 of the 4 in the AFC teams traded up for.
Yes. And if you expand it to some of the teams that got knocked out, like the L.A. Chargers quarterback, first-round pick, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, not by them, but first-round pick, mm-hmm. or the Minnesota Vikings quarterback, yeah, not by them, first-round pick.
You can't claim those guys.
You can't claim those guys.
I'll back you up.
Once you've lost your starting position on the team that drafted you, you can't say you're a first-round pick.
Tiki's right. See? Tiki's right. But those guys are home.
That's true.
I think it does show you, though, that as much as I'm not recommending the Jets or the Giants reach for a quarterback,
mm-hmm.
but if you look around the NFL at the successful ones, it's almost universal that they're first-round picks.
Well, I mean, that's because they're good. So I think what we're saying is, or we're trying to say, or convince ourselves to believe, is that you have to have a first-round quarterback in order to get to and win a Super Bowl. But the reality is, you just need a good quarterback.
And where do you find them?
To get to and win a Super Bowl. Most of them are in the first round, because there's a lot of bad quarterbacks that come into the league.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just never going to be viable star starters. And so, to reach for one is the worst thing you can do. A guy that probably is not first round talent, but because there's no other first round talent, he gets into the first round because teams are desperate for the quarterback. That's the hardest evaluation in football, determining whether or not this guy who is ranked as one of the top quarterbacks is actually one of the top.
Yeah, no. And like, look, there are a lot of failed first-round picks. We were talking earlier about a guy like Mitchell Trubisky.
There are a ton.
Who is taken ahead of Pat Mahomes, mm-hmm. and taken ahead of Deshaun Watson. So it doesn't guarantee you anything, but I guess as we get closer to draft season and Jet and Giant fans talk about, well, we'll take one in the second round, we'll take one in the third round. Those are the exceptions. Like, at the end of the day, Jalen Hurts and even Russell Wilson, they're more the exception than they are the rule. Like, you can find guys who are successful in the second and third round, or even use the Tom Brady example, but they're just not likely.
That has been my point from the beginning. It's not that it's easy to find a quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's easy to hit. And it's not that you should ever take one you don't believe in. I do believe that. But ultimately, for anybody that says it's harder, it's so hard to find a quarterback in the first round and be elite, I don't disagree. But I think it is actually harder to find a good quarterback with any other option outside of the first round, and I believe statistics point that out. Before you answer, Tiki, I just want to say the road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Yeah, and I think so much of evaluating them is knowing what caused them to have success in college. Right? Because C.J. Stroud didn't have he didn't win national championships at Ohio State, but he was good.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably suffered from the Ohio State never puts out elite quarterbacks until they do. You know what I mean? And they finally did, which was him.
Punished for Justin Fields not being great right away.
Right. Or what was the other guy that came in?
Well, Cordell Jones.
Cordell Jones. And I can't even think
was
of the
Dwayne
one.
Was Dwayne Haskins Ohio State?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's a bunch of them that proceeded and they just weren't NFL ready, or I don't know, they had the work ethic or whatever it may have been. Josh Allen played in a small school.
Yeah.
But he was good.
It's tough to identify, but when you do, it changes your franchise. The other thing is, and this is going to go both ways, if you look at the current teams in the NFL playoffs, think about what the coaches' backgrounds are in terms of offense, defense, or specials. Sean McDermott comes from a defensive background.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans comes from a defensive background.
Yep.
Dan Quinn comes from a defensive background. And then you've got some offense. Dan Campbell comes from an offensive background, even though he was an assistant tight ends coach.
He's kind of neutral.
Yeah, I agree with you, by the way.
Right.
I say offense just to be fair to this discussion, but you're right. Like, his background was...
His background is an ass-kicking motivator.
Yes.
He's closer to John Harbaugh coming from special teams,
No, it's not even that. He's unique. He's just... Like, one of the first stories he ever told me, Dan, it was about the rivalry between Texas A&M and Texas. And I can't even repeat it, but I was like, I love this MLR. I love this dude. He is awesome.
The truth is, he is unique in this whole thing. But you can see there's a good mix of defensive-minded head coaches.
Yeah, but those defensive-minded head coaches also have very good coordinators.
They do. But here's the problem, all right? Because getting to the playoffs is cool. I'd like to get to the playoffs. Sean, Lugie, Utique, you'd like to get to the playoffs. But ultimately, we want to win a Super Bowl. So let's think about the coaches that have been to just the Super Bowl. Not winning the Super Bowl, just been there. Andy Reid, offensive background. Kyle Shanahan, offensive background. Nick Sirianni, offensive background. Zach Taylor, offensive background. Bruce Arians, offensive background. Sean McVay, offensive background. The last time a defensive-minded, if you will, or comes from a defensive background,
doesn't even count Belichick.
It's
right?
Bill Belichick.
God, you can't even count him.
And if you don't want to count Bill, which is totally fine, you got to go back to a guy who's actually coaching this weekend. That's right. The last defensive-minded head coach, if you don't want to include Belichick, because I get it, so many years have gone by, is Dan Quinn with the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
So, as the Jets are approaching this, it may be Brian Flores' defensive background. It may be Aaron Glenn' defensive background. Track records, in terms of just getting to a Super Bowl, is overwhelming offensive-minded head coaches. Mm-hmm. Now, is that going to disqualify me from hiring a defensive-minded coach? No. But it is frustrating that the Jets never go offense. The one time they've got offense is with Adam Gase, and that caused us to scream and yell and have, heart attacks.
Yeah. The problem is there's not new coaches coming in. They're all of the same vein, in a sense. You know what I mean? Andy Reid kind of stands alone by himself, but he's basically got a dynasty right now, so I guess that's fine because he's been there multiple times. But when you think about the Shanahans and the McVays, like, they're kind of the same tree.
Yeah.
And so I there's nothing unique. So I think what it takes to get there. And so when you take shots on whoever the new head coach is for the Jets or any of these other teams that are hiring, unless it's kind of following the same path, you're kind of screwed. Even the Texans.
Yeah.
I know it's D'Amico Ryans, but D'Amico Ryans was the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. And his offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, was the guy who was teaching the quarterbacks.
Right.
Right? In San Francisco. So it's still an extension of them, if that makes sense.
Which is fine as long as it works, but we haven't had a defensive-minded head coach win a Super Bowl since Bill, and if you don't want to include Bill, you got to go back even further. But here's my strategy as a Jet fan. It's fine.
Who was the last one to win one? To win? Pete Carroll, right?
Pete Carroll. You're right.
Tony Dungy, right?
No, but he said the last
one. No, but I'm saying I'm going back the last, like, 20 years.
Yeah, you got to go back even further. No, Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin.
Did it. I mean, you got a few, but it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Here's my strategy as a Jet fan. Go become a playoff consistent team. Go hire a head coach that just gets you there. And after a few years of being frustrated, of losing in the wild card round or losing in the divisional round, so we're talking 5 years from now, maybe 7 years from now, then we'll have a discussion of, all right, who can get us to the next level?
Yeah, fire him and hire somebody from the Shanahan tree.
Right. And I'll give you a great example of this, just predicting the future for you, because I can see it. It's very obvious to me. That's actually occurring right now with one of our franchises. There is a guy making everything good, everything solid, with there every year, and then eventually, not yet, I'm not there yet, not yet, calm down over there. At some point, we'll have uncomfortable conversations of, but you can't win with this guy, so let's replace them.
You're talking about Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, we all know. We're talking about Tom
Thibodeau.
And we'll
all go in the right direction, right?
Right.
Sean?
What do you mean? I don't know what that means.
What he's trying to do is take a jaywalk.
What?
You can't be this. Okay.
What are they doing?
So,
do you know what's going on back there?
No.
I think you're playing dumb right now, I think, right?
No, I'm not playing dumb. I'm merely saying.
College.
About what? College?
Who's on his team?
What are they talking about? Replacing Tom Thibodeau?
Where did he go? Where did all the players go?
Oh, Jay Wright. I didn't know you were replacing Tom already.
I'm not replacing anybody. That's why I said Sean.
No, I thought you were going to fight back with me. I was just saying Thibodeau is on his way to doing what I want the Jets to do. You're in the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. You're very good. And at some point, it differs for all of us. We say, okay, that's not enough.
Yeah, at some point, the Knicks are going to smoke a Jay.
Right. Now I get it because you're talking about Jay Wright. By the way, you're both right about that. Like, that is inevitable.
Good job, Evan.
I like the jaywalking one.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, you guys will get there.
You got it.
No, I'm with you, though.
No, I know. You're nailing it.
Yeah.
Well, now I think you're both messing with me. The way I look.
No. What we're trying to tell you, Tommy, and we'll explain a little bit further a little bit later on, is the Knicks are really cool and fun, and that's awesome. Eventually, you're not there yet, and that's cool. You don't have to get there. There will be a moment in which you say, I'm sick of just being good. I need to be great. And you will turn a microphone on WFAN, and you will say, I need a new head coach to get me to that level. What I'm saying as a Jet fan is, get me to that consistent, we're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, eventually, we will have a conversation on who's our next head coach to get us to the next level. Does that make sense?
I think Tom Thibodeau at some point is going to be vilified. And then, obviously, Lugar will be so numb, he's going to need Nova Kane.
I get that. See, he said Villa like Nova, and the Nova's for the Kane.
Yes, I hear you.
I'm sorry you're here.
Very good. Good work. Speaking of the Knicks.
Well done, Sean.
That was well done. Maybe your finest work.
Thank you.
Speaking of the Knicks, a little bit later on, we will figure out who Josh Hart hates on his own basketball team, because clearly that's an undercurrent that we absolutely need to address.